Uxish number 14281, reel 3.
Mr. McAllister, reel 3. You were telling me that you didn't go into Naples for its liberation.
No, that's right. I never went in on the actual liberation. I went in at some later date when it was used for breaks for the troops. There are certain residences in Naples which were used for 2 or 3 days rest. But not in any official capacity. It was just a break while you were there.
What was Naples like in those days?
It was pretty drab. And the people were very, very poor. Always ready to take the odd cigarette or the biscuit, everlasting watching you.
Did the soldiers give them things?
Yes.
Did they try to sell you things?
Well, they try and exchange goods for cigarettes. They barter with this and that.
What fighting did your battalion then get involved in to the north of Naples?
The Gothic Line. But it was at this point that I left the unit, I left the battalion, when I was involved in the accident. Was sent back to number 2 general.
General Hospital?
Yes. So I wasn't involved in the fighting for the River Po.
Were you not able to return to the battalion after your wrist had healed?
Yes, I went back to I joined the battalion again in Athens after taking a commission. And I became commander of the carrier platoon, 4 platoon, in Athens.
This is a Bren carrier platoon, is it?
Bren gun, yes.
What was the situation in Athens when you got there?
In Athens?
Was it peaceful or disturbed?
Oh, peaceful. The difficulty had gone. There was a bit of trouble, I recollect, on Independence Day. From Athens, I was posted to Megalopolis as a town major. And I was in charge of administration for Megalopolis. And there were 2 factions there causing trouble almost day and night.
You said the 2 factions were causing trouble almost day and night. What form did the trouble take?
A demonstration. It was anti-royal and royalist, you know.
Did you favour either side?
Did I?
Favour either side?
Well, I favoured the royalist side. I had an interpreter from the royalist side.
You just showed me two letters from the opposing sides inviting you to attend the Independence Day celebrations at Megalopolis. Did you go to them?
Did I go?
To the Independence Day celebration?
No, I didn't go. I didn't go to the parade at all.
Why was that?
Well, I seem to have had a tummy full of arguing and attending the police station. In the end, I didn't attend the parade at all.
Was there any shooting there?
No. It was only a peaceful demonstration. There was no danger at all. But the Royal Engineers had a body of men there, about 30, under a lieutenant. And the Hampshire Regiment played the Royal Engineers at football in the morning. I don't think it was a very popular move. I had a visit from my adjutant in Athens. I don't think he took very favourably to the fact that I'd boycotted both. They held an independence parade in Athens, which was well attended. But I think I made a bad move there.
How did you like being in Greece?
Not terribly much, really.
Because of the political situation?
I suppose partly it had a big bearing on it. You had to do all sorts of things. In one instance, we had to conduct a funeral. I'd take three carriers to this village and take the corpse to this funeral. And the coffin had slats on, and at one point a leg fell through the coffin. It rather upset the troops.
Was that at Megalopolis or Athens?
Megalopolis.
You've got the Distinguished Conduct Medal. Do you know what it was, specific thing it was awarded for? I think it was awarded for the attack on Mount Damiano in Italy. Can you describe what happened, please?
Yes, the attack was changed from 1430, from a night attack to 1430. I've got that the wrong way round. The attack was originally arranged for a night attack, and it was changed suddenly to an afternoon attack at 1430. The company commander was John Price. Second in command was Ken Mottershead. The battle proved very hard going and confusing. First 6 saris observed on our left flank, having a rough time during course of fighting. Message from Sunray that our friends in B Company would endeavour to assist us to withdraw and establish contact, or otherwise withdraw and follow B Company off.
Yes, this was January 1944, during the attempts to cross the river Garigliano. What was the terrain like in the area?
It was very, very rocky. Big boulders.
What was the German fire like?
German fire
was it machine gun fire?
Mostly machine gun. And they used their mortars.
Could you see the enemy?
You could see them, yes. They got a nasty habit of jumping up and throwing stick grenades. That happened quite a lot. But their fire was pretty deadly.
And was this attack was in daylight?
It's 2:30.
Why could the attack not have been launched in darkness?
I don't know why it was. I probably knew at the time, but for some reason for altering it. It wasn't a very popular move so far as the troops were concerned.
How was morale affected by the losses there?
Was the only thing that I recollect about the afternoon attack, the start of the attack, was when we went up to our starting line and the gunners were using a barrage to assist us to get them off the top. As we were advancing, the gunners were laying down a barrage on the crest of the hill. But unfortunately, the barrage was falling short and it fell onto our own troops. And that caused a bit of panic to start off.
Do you remember Sergeant Dix in that action?
Sergeant Dix, yes.
Did you see him get killed?
Yes.
What happened?
Well, he was leading his platoon and he was just shot with a machine gun.
Did you see any of the officers get killed?
I saw McCreary killed.
What happened in his case?
Again, machine gun. They were platoon commanders leading their platoons forward in full view of the enemy.
I think after Monte Damiano, there was another action you were involved in at Ornito. What happened then, please?
Well, we finished Damiano and we were head of action. We were asked to go on to Mount Damiano, to Mount Ornito, to assist the Coldstream Guards. We were expecting an attack from the Germans. We duly went on to Mount Ornito and the reverse slope. To boost up the Coldstream Guards. And during the early morning, we heard machine gun fire coming across our forward sloop. My company commander was Major Perkins. Who instructed me to go forward and remain with Sergeant Scott, who was acting platoon commander of the right-hand platoon. Well, there was a lot of fighting then, and eventually the German company gave up, came forward, led by the German company commander, followed by his sergeant major. And they passed back then to company headquarters. For transporting back to the rear of the battalion. There were, I suppose, about 100 Germans came forward. And that was the end of the operation. The prisoners were passed back to Beeston and eventually to prisoner of war camp. And the battle was over.
I think rather earlier than these events we've just been describing, in the autumn of 1943, you were also in action at Castel Volturno, which is a town at the mouth of the Volturno River. Can you tell me what your memories are of that, please?
Yes, it's still pretty vivid in my memory. It was an afternoon attack on the front of the town, a comparatively small town. The company was Don Company, under command of Major Christopher Perkins. I, at that time, was the company sergeant major. We moved into the town and occupied three houses, one being the police station, one the post office, and won an outfitter's shop. The Germans were situated on the other side of the river and were unaware that we were moving into the town from the front. We got into the town, occupied these three houses in order to deaden the noise. The troops were instructed to cover their feet with bunting and flags, which they found in the police station. So for the next 12 hours, we were able to conceal our occupation from the troops. We watched them throughout the day from our side of the river. We watched them digging their trenches, digging their cookhouses, digging their latrines. And were instructed not to open fire. We kept this up right through the way through the day. But that evening, they decided to occupy the town, still not knowing that we were occupying the houses. So, I suppose 9 o'clock at night, they attacked across the river, the bottom of our house. They opened fire on the houses adjacent to where we were, set light to two. The signaller in the artillery OP was killed. In the bedroom he was using as an OP. We returned fire and beat them off. But we never really saw how many casualties there were. In the morning, there was no sign of any wounded or casualties. And the next day we moved on and did the crossing a point upriver. So it was not an altogether successful engagement.
According to the regimental history, those events took place on the 10th, 11th and 12th of October, 1943. Page 147 of your regimental history.